Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Good morning. It's a bright new day on BOTW, the show with family value.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Oh, I know exactly what kind of values your family has.
Just from the way you said that. We're here to play some Pathfinder 2nd Edition, specifically the Quest for the Frozen Flame Adventure Path, the first book by Ron and Stephanie Lundeen. I'm Jared Logan, your Game Master. And with me here on the couch, I have Joe O'Brien, Paula Deming.
Why, hello, everyone.
Mary Lou, and with weather, Skid Marr.
Hi, we're going to have a real sunny, blessed day today.
Wow.
Let's start by dedicating this episode to Christ.
Let's.
Wait, just this episode?
Like, yeah, just episode 25.
Just this one.
Everybody,
dear
hold
Lord,
hands.
We thank for this tabletop role-playing game we are to partake in today. Mm-hmm. Please protect us from the demons of Satan that will seek to tempt us and corrupt us as we play. Mm-hmm. As we all know, tabletop role-playing is a gateway into child sacrifice.
Amen. Amen.
We don't want to be tempted into that. Thank you. Praise God.
I'm actually
God.
Wearing a Satanic Panic shirt today.
I was going to ask you what your shirt said.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh,
I survived the Satanic Panic, and all I got was better at math and killer improv skills.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. I love it. Yeah. This was such a great segue because I literally wanted to, as soon as we started recording, ask you what your shirt said, Skid, and this just led into it so beautifully.
Oh,
beautiful.
And perfect.
Jared, were you raised in the church? Because that was a very, I was like, I feel like we're really
praying
actually, right now.
It was kind of authentic.
It was dead on.
I was raised Pentecostal. Yeah, I was raised pretty
wow.
religious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same-sies.
I was too. My uncle's a pastor.
Hey.
Yeah, we get the front pew at church. Everybody has
hierarchy.
Their own Bible. My mom keeps trying to buy me a Bible. And I keep going, thank you so much, and then leaving it at her house, and she listens to this podcast. Sorry, Mom.
I still have my teen study Bible.
Nice.
With all the cool stuff in it, and I mostly keep it because it's like I just want to be clear. I do have a Bible in my house that I do.
Love that.
It's like a better Bible. Oh my gosh. What? I've gotten nervous.
Not a teen study Bible with notes and comics.
Yeah. Try not to like be like, ew, religion's bad, while also being like, not trying to be like, it's that awkward thing where you're like, yes, I have certain faith beliefs, but I don't want to force them on anyone or make you think I'm stick in the mud. I've got a Bible. Oh God.
Hey,
you
don't have
a Bible.
Listen, we are open to all faiths here. The only religion that's stupid is Buddhism. Okay, let's get started.
it's just
sweats.
Such a nonsense story, that Buddhism.
It makes no sense.
I think he seems like a nice guy.
I'm joking. Buddhism is swell. Should we get started? Let's get started,
sure.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Let's get in there.
Please. Wait,
honestly, episode left on a real cliffhanger that I am excited.
You guys are not going
to
believe this. I got a new computer.
No.
And no. I don't have my intro in front of me.
Are you kidding?
Oh, no.
Should we do it from memory?
Here we go.
The other lords
from
say.
Memory.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Can I do this?
We'll try and help. We'll help.
It's relax. We'll be grading you on poison grammar.
The other lords say our days are numbered. Our following dwindles. And we have failed in our sacred charge. They say we will soon pass away into the endless northern night.
They are mistaken.
We are strong. Broken, but strong. Our hearts beat, and it is like a herd of mammoths stampeding across the tundra. And in each heart flows the world.
Well done. I didn't realize that I had it memorized too.
Perfect.
It's sort of, yeah.
The short version.
I've internalized that trauma and it is now, I can regurgitate it on command. Okay.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search realms of peril and glory to find out more.
Look, there are a lot of celebrity interview podcasts out there, but there's only one Happy, Sad, Confused. I'm Josh Horowitz, and yeah, I'm the host of the show, so I'm a little biased, but truly, Happy, Sad, Confused is the place for nerdy and intimate conversations with all your favorite actors and filmmakers. From Andrew Garfield and Scarlett Johansson to Christopher Nolan. Casting what ifs, backstage stories, and much more. Listen to Happy, Sad, Confused on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are, back in the realm of the Mammoth Lords. Here's a brief recap. Our scouts, made up of Olog, the orc, Raga, the changeling druid, Yelka, the oracle, and Awol, the Ganzi Ranger, have been traveling ahead of their following, the Broken Tusk following, to try to find Red Cat Cave. Inside Red Cat Cave is a being, a creature that can give them the whereabouts of the Primordial Flame, an ancient artifact that the Broken Tusk were supposed to guard but lost. On their heels are the Burning Mammoths, a huge warlike following that wants to capture the Primordial Flame for themselves. In our last episode, while at the Grandparents, a set of mountain peaks that flank a mountain pass, Raga found some tracks leading up into the mountains. Our scouts followed them and heard sounds. They heard speech that was not in the Hallet language of the realm of the Mammoth Lords. Some sort of foreigners have invaded the realm of the Mammoth Lords, and they are right above you in this mountain pass. You can't see them yet. They're right over the lip of a cliff. Our scouts are on the winding pass leading up to the cliff. What would you like to do?
Sorry, what is AWOL's heritage again?
The wind blows. The wind blows. It's a little colder up here.
Don't bother me none.
Looking down over the side of the pass, you can see it's almost 80 feet down to the bottom of this particular little ravine on either side.
Oh, hey, can we, slightly retcon something? And before we got to this point, can we say that Yelka made sure to let everyone know? Weepa said to be very careful about the ledges and cliffs. There are a lot of hiding places out here.
You don't have to retcon it. You can say it right now very quietly.
I said it very quietly. All right, team. I do not know these voices. I do not know this language. But I think we need to see these people. Either we stealthily crawl forward as a group, or I can go in as a mouse again. Something with night vision. Creep up on their...
Go as a mouse. Go as a mouse.
I do not think they will notice me.
We'll wait here.
Okay. Here I go. Ooh, I want to be very small. Ooh, and you see her, like, she, like, clenches her fists and she closes her eyes really tight and she scrunches up her nose and she goes, ooh, and then all of a sudden, like, poof.
Pop.
She just kind of, like, shoo, vanishes into the grass at your feet and you see a very small white shrew with little
She's so
tiny,
cute.
Tiny blue eyes, and it goes, wee, 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 and like scurries off through the underbrush up.
Amazing.
She's so cute when she does that.
She's so cute when she's in pest form.
I would like a stealth roll still, but I'm going to give you a +4 to it.
Oh yes.
So I get +10 from my pest form.
Never stealth. Mind. That's what I meant.
Well, I mean, do I get an extra +4?
No, you don't get an extra +4. It's
well, it would be
kind
of cool if I did.
Excuse me. Point of order. You did say we would get a bonus to stealth because we decided to go at night.
At night.
+2, so +12 altogether.
Bam! Oh, nice. Ooh, yeah. Bam! Okay. Well, so good, because I didn't roll that well, so that's a 20.
What,
so that's an 8 plus a 12, so that's a 20. Dirty 20.
20 yeah. altogether. Okay.
20.
So.
That counts.
Let's look at what's up here.
Would have been cool if I rolled like a 32, though.
That would have been cooler.
That would have been pretty sweet.
But
would have been really cool. But a 20 is still literally as good as it
buffs.
They don't see you or hear you at all. Crouching there in mouse form with a, you know, a stone that could fit in someone's hand in front of you, but for you it's like cover.
Yeah.
You peek over and what you see are three men, stout dwarves, holding some kind of like long hooks. You can see a couple of crates and boxes around them, but what interests you more is a woman. A woman that is, she's standing near the edge of a cliff to the west of you, to like the northwest of you. And she is decked out in fine blue garments. She has a large slouching blue hat, and she is standing beside an object. The object is a obsidian, or not necessarily, that's the color of it, okay? It's not necessarily made out of that pyramid, which has its point stuck into the ground.
Uh-oh.
At the edge of this cliff.
We know what that is.
She is muttering over it. Elementive. And let me just show you this woman, and you can describe her.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Okay.
There is apparently a bow and arrow hanging off of her belt. She is perhaps holding, or you can see a spell book kind of hanging from her. A book, just to you, a book. Please describe her.
So she's dressed in these like fine light blue silk pantaloons and this silky flowy blouse with a dark blue like velvety cape with a hood.
Like a quilt. It's like a quilted
cape. And this huge slouching blue wide-brimmed hat. And then she's also got these like gold or brass armor pieces around her like legs and knees and elbows and gold clasps on this quilted cloak. And looks like she's doing magic. She is doing some sort of magic.
She's currently casting Acid Splash.
Yeah.
This green, neon green spell that's also being reflected in her, like, sort of very scary neon green eyes. She's very tall, very thin. It looks like she's got pointed ears.
Oh.
She's almost got like a Harlequin kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question is,
she does not belong here.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. Like, she really looks like she does not belong here.
Courtesan. Yeah.
And the three dwarves with her don't look like they belong here either. They are not as elegantly appareled as she is, but they definitely have clothes that are made of silks and cloth. You know where you've seen clothes most like this was on Arbina Farwander.
And she is leaning over that obelisk. What are those called? Nexus? What do we call those?
Oh, is this the ley line nexus?
I think so. The onyx cone that we saw before. Yeah,
yeah, the last one was
to be connected
cone.
To the ley lines.
Oh, and this is a
pyramid.
Pyramid.
An upside down pyramid?
But it's still
pyramid?
Obsidian, and
that's
it's upside
right.
down with its point in the ground. It's got to
so
be something similar.
Yeah, she looks like she could have arrived on the same ship with, like, Cecil Rhodes. Like, that's the vibe that I'm getting right now.
If... Oh, no, that's metagaming. Nope.
Paula?
Go ahead. Paula. A little bit of metagaming is okay. Go ahead.
If Yelka has this person described to her, she might be able to tell if it's the Iracini witch she saw in her vision.
Oh,
when she...
well, then let's ask Mary Lou. In your mouse form, what do you do next?
I am definitely going to stay and investigate a little longer, I think. I want to see if there's anything else I can tell about them. Can I see weapons? Can I see... does it look like they've been traveling a long time? Are they dirty? Are they clean? Like, anything. Why are they...
It's very, you know, the light is dim. We are under a full moon, but you have low light
vision. I have dark
vision. Yeah, you do. Okay.
I don't have low light vision. So, I got dark vision, baby.
Oh, you got full on dark
Ooh,
ass vision.
Full on dark vision.
Dark so, ass vision.
Dark ass vision.
They look like they've been traveling, perhaps. They don't look dirty or ragged at all. They look hale and hearty. They don't appear to be sick or... exhausted in any way. I will say that looking up to the northeast, you see that there is a place where the path continues to the east, down onto a lower sort of cliff.
Can I sort of scurry over eastern to see if I can see down onto that cliff if just to get a peek at it?
Sure, would you give me another stealth roll, though? Actually, yeah, I'll let you just roll it.
That's a 21.
That's 21. That's a good roll. Okay. So, looking down that path, you see where they have set up a camp. You see two large tents, and you see a number of boxes and barrels... A place where they could light a fire. And another thing that you see is the statue of a large wolf.
A statue of a large... Does it look like something they brought with them? Or something that they made?
Does this seem like the lady
or
who used to own that...
Cockatrice?
Right.
A collared, diamond-collared cockatrice?
She looks like someone who would own a cockatrice for sure. Yeah. She's dressed like someone who owns a cockatrice.
She got emeralds anywhere on her?
Do I see the wolf?
You do.
I do
or
see
I
the wolf.
I would not have described it.
Yeah, correct. Okay. I think...
yeah, correct.
I think Raga knows animals so well. You tell me, Jared, but I think she, having seen the statue of the mammoth and having that fresh in her mind, would be able to guess maybe that this is not a statue, but that this is a petrified real wolf.
I don't disagree with you.
Okay. Great. That is great to know that they have another cockatrice somewhere. Okay. I'm going to scurry back towards this woman. I know Raga does not know her name, but Mary Lou does. I'm going to scurry back towards her just for a little longer, maybe another minute or two, to see if I can see what they're doing. Do they seem happy, scared, confident? I don't know. Do they start torturing little animals or something? I don't know. Anything that I can tell, like what kind
do
of
ghosts
people
come out
are
of the
they?
Pyramid? You know.
Yeah. What is she doing with that pyramid? I just want to observe.
Okay. You're observing, and as you leave, I won't make you roll another stealth roll. I think that's quite enough.
Okay.
As you observe, you see that the porters seem to be waiting patiently while the woman experiments with the pyramid. You know what? You can make a perception roll if you want. I'll allow it.
Oh, no.
That's a natural one.
Oh no.
I'm using a hero point.
You really want to use a hero point? I'm being a nice GM. You really want to use a hero point on a perception roll that I seem to have randomly called for?
Well, I have two.
Okay.
Okay. That's true.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'm using a hero point. Whatever. They're meant to be used. I'm doing it. You can't stop me. 18.
Okay. Staring out over the cliff.
Jared, you better give her something real juicy for this perception roll.
Well, tell me if this is juicy. Staring out over the cliff past the woman and the pyramid, you can see far down below this cliff, a collection of fires. That's where the broken tusk following is.
Oh.
Does she? So she sees us?
She sees not you, the tip of the spear.
I mean, but she sees
your following.
And is she watch? Like, oh gosh.
She what is in a perfect position to view you.
What do we
use.
Do?
Okay. Seeing that, noticing that, Raga's going to scurry back to the group and relay all the information that she has just seen. There is a woman. She is finely dressed. Very rich woman from a city somewhere. Not from here. Not from the forest. Not from our realm. She has three dwarven men. They follow her, and she's watching the tribe. She's watching the following.
What do we do? Also, did she look Irasini? I don't think that this is the woman I saw with the other... With the cone. When you saw the cone.
Based on the description, it is not.
Right, oh, she was tan, a Irasini witch, yeah.
Yeah, she's tan but not dark skin, and she has dark brown hair, not white or light. But she does not look... I do not get good feelings from this woman.
And she had a frozen wolf?
Yes, petrified, like the mammoth that we saw. There must be another cockatrice here.
Another bird.
What do we do? Olag
pulls his axe off.
Yes.
It's like... You could try to speak to them if you wish, but I fear this will only come to blood.
Should we?
Might
should
as well
we?
Start now.
Did they have weapons? Did you see if they were armed, her escort?
Oh, I did. I did ask about weapons, but I forgot to ask you, Jared.
The porters are holding hooks, long-handled hooks.
Long-handled
looks
hooks.
Like stuff that they would use to carry heavy crates and stuff, you know, up a mountainside.
What if she's from some other... Lane and she's like casting a blessing down on us. I don't know. What if? I don't think we should just go in and attack without knowing. I think we should try and talk to them.
Right. Yeah. We'll try to talk, but be ready to fight.
They look into her eyes. Oh, friends, that is the look that I see in predators, not in friend animals.
What if we? Okay, I'm actually a pretty good liar. What if we did a thing like. Speaking of birds, birds sometimes do. I could go up alone, act like I'm hurt or sick or lost, and see how they react to me. And then, if they're nice, we'll know. And if they're mean, you all can get the jump on them. Because they won't know you're there.
But you'd be putting yourself in danger.
Risk.
Great danger. We don't know what they're capable of.
Yes, gotta put yourself in danger, big sister.
Well, otherwise we'd put all of us in danger.
The woman is focused on... The pyramid, the upside-down pyramid, that somehow reminded me of the upside-down cone that we saw earlier. But what if we sneak up behind
behind each man, and we grab them, and we hold a knife to their throat, and we say, "Do not move! Who are you? What are you doing here?"
Right, but then we're just being... We're just starting off with aggression, and they could just take that wrong. Look, I think we do what we did with the slavers anyway. Well, what we should have done, which is we all walk up, but Olog goes first. They see him first, and they'll know they're going to be in trouble if they start something, but at least we didn't start it. You know what I mean? It's like saying something without saying something.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, but did not we come to the conclusion that that was the opposite thing of what we wanted to do? We wanted to hide Olog so that... Oh, no.
Well, that's what I thought. But that's
no, that's what we did. We did the opposite thing. Okay,
AWOL
yes,
always
I see
disagrees
now.
With me.
Well, that's not true AWOL necessarily.
AWOL thinks we should make a show of strength immediately, and I think we should hide our strength to surprise them with it.
Oh, I do not know which is best. I'm so confused. This is why I'm not the leader.
Show our strength immediately, and then they'll know not to start anything.
It's just such a boy way of approaching things.
You're talking for a while, and common sense dictates that even whispering... common sense dictates that even whispering is going to be risky here.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah.
I will go. I seem non-threatening. I am small in some ways, though large in others. I have a weapon. I have Baba. Baba will sneak behind me. He is not visible, but he will be there. I will go.
Well,
I will do this. And Raga's just going to go. Raga's made
the choice. Stealthily, she's going to creep forward.
Okay.
And AWOL's going to go right behind her.
In human form.
Maybe 10 feet behind her. Try to stay unseen.
Move your... tokens to where you think you move them, and I need a stealth roll. Are you trying to not be seen, or are you
walking
into
parley? I'm trying to be stealthy until the very last second.
Give me another stealth roll, and we'll make it at +2 because it's dark.
Okay.
It's dim.
And I feel like we're all following behind as, like, sneaky support.
Yeah.
Okay, that's... Ooh, it's only a 13.
Move your character to up onto the... let me ping it for you, like right here, because that's where you were going, right? To where you could kind of parlay with them. And they are immediately waiting for you because your stealth roll was poor.
Okay.
And the woman has crossed the cliff to where you have approached, Raga, and her porters are all backing her up, holding their hooks somewhat threateningly when you arrive. And the woman says, "Alame, taramatima kola, asamata."
Pardon. I do not speak your language.
Ooh, tekapatapata. Alamata batina pota.
Oh, I do not like when you laugh at me.
Asamata kepo, aita paranana. And then you see, please make a deception roll.
Okay.
At -2.
Yeah, unfortunately, I am not great at deception.
It's my highest skill, which is why I was...
Oh, that's right.
Trying to do...
Okay, this was a 12.
A 12. Okay, that is not enough to figure out whatever she is saying. But I will say that the porters move forward a little bit. And now they are starting to move past you.
No,
Annette, are you making a gesture like no?
Yeah.
She goes, "Alamate, Artamonto Sabata.
Raga Halama. Already distrusted this woman.
Halama. And then she pulls out an ink bottle and a couple of copper coins and she's like, Alata, and kind of jangles them toward you.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm glad it was Raga then, because she couldn't give less of a shit about copper coins and or ink. So she's gonna pull her spear. And
oh boy,
when she does that, the woman goes, "Salamekina, Hanasa, Shalama," and
oh god. God!
Let's all roll initiative.
Okay,
here we go.
Not
I knew
even
it.
A chance of a conversation.
Oh, I just rolled a
do not like
20
this
on my
woman
initiative.
At all.
Raga, what is your initiative?
17.
17. Okay. And let me have Yelka's.
26. I wish I had rolled a 20. I rolled a natural 20. I wish I had done that in combat, but yeah.
Okay. And Olog.
Olog got a 16.
And AWOL.
17.
The first people to act are the dwarven porters.
Ugh.
The first one.
They got more than a 26? Dang.
The first one is going to use his first action to move down the slope past Raga and immediately finds himself looking face to face at AWOL and Baba and shouts at the other ones. This one is going to use his second action to shout, Alakama! And then attack AWOL.
Wow.
Here he goes.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes, those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
Goodbye, Kyle!
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlatta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Malouf in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
Oh, please, not that music. That music gives me nightmares from my childhood.
Could we get something a little bit lighter? Some lighter music here.
Are you a fan of true crime TV shows?
And what about Unsolved Mysteries, the show that jumpstarted all of our love of true crime?
I'm Ellen Marsh.
And I'm Joey Taranto.
And we host I Think Not, a true crime comedy podcast covering some of the wildest stories from your favorite true crime campy TV shows all the way to Unsolved Mysteries.
Baby, you will laugh, you will cry, you'll think about true crime in a whole new way, and you'll also ask yourself, who gave these people mics?
New episodes of I Think Not are released every Wednesday with bonus episodes out every Thursday on Patreon.
And every Monday, you can listen to our True Crime Run Down, where we go over the top true crime headlines of the week.
So come and join us wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So they do seem bad because if they weren't, they probably wouldn't just be attacking
they're bad
us now.
So he swings his cargo hook and he rolls a 20 versus your AC.
That's a hit.
But you know what? Let me make that flat check because it is. You are kind of concealed. He succeeds at that. And here comes the damage.
Here comes the damage.
That is a... Oh, damn me, Jared. Where did it go? Ah, here it is. 3 damage to you.
Okay.
Then he's going to jump back a step. The next porter is going to climb down past
climb
his buddy.
Down.
Walk down. Run past Raga to Baba. And he is going to attack Baba.
Brave man, let's go.
Oh, man, this is really getting...
Brave dwarf.
Hardimati! And he swings his cargo hook. And this one rolls a 18 versus Baba's AC.
That does hit.
And this one rolls a, again, 3 damage versus Baba.
Okay.
And then he is going to move back a step to get out of Baba's immediate reach. The third porter runs down to Raga.
Yeah.
And immediately attacks Raga.
Okay.
And rolls a natural 20.
No.
Oh,
no.
Yay. Don't love that, but God. Whatever.
That's bad.
So that is a critical hit. And this porter rolls 10 damage with it doubled.
Oof. What?
Yeah, against Raga.
And wait, so 10, not 20.
That's right.
10
okay,
times.
Okay, 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 okay.
Doubled is 10.
5 damage total. Okay. Sorry. Then, my brain went to the worst possible outcome, which was...
Having done that, he will move again back to guard the woman.
Whatever.
And that is the porter's,
and
now
want.
It is Yelka's turn.
So I'm kind of in the back here and around a bit of a corner. So I have two technical questions. One, do we think I could see the two porters up near Raga from where I am?
Yes,
about
you can
25,
see.
25, 30 feet away from them.
You can see those. You cannot see the woman and the third porter right. up on the lip of the cliff.
And in terms of movement, so we're in a very narrow, like a 10-foot wide kind of cliff face here.
Yeah, a mountain pass with eight-foot drops.
Like and certain so, death on either side, right?
That's
yes,
right.
We don't want to fall off of it. And so like where Baba and AWOL are currently standing, are they blocking the path? Am I slippery? Can I move through them?
You can move through your allies. You cannot move through an enemy.
Okay. Yelka's going to run past everyone and run to be on the other side of the porter. So she's the porter who I believe attacked Raga, the closer one to me. So I believe I'm now flanking this porter. And then she will cast... Oh, now that I'm here, I could do... Let's do this. I'm going to use my second two actions, and I'm going to cast Bane.
Ooh.
Bane. Okay.
So what this does is this comes out in a 5-foot emanation, and it's somatic and verbal, so Yucca will put her hands together and then pull them apart, almost like she's stretching the water in the air in front of her that only she can sense, and she just shouts, "Leave her!" And I will fill the mind of my enemy with doubt. So he needs to make, this porter needs to make a will saving throw.
Now, here's where I'll
be
the nicest.
This is a 5-foot emanation.
Yes, the nicest GM. The nicest GM in the world.
Oh, is it coming out from behind me, too?
It emanates in all directions, meaning you would catch both Baba and AWOL. Now, as a spellcaster.
But also that porter.
The other porter. You would catch both porters. Oh, I wasn't thinking about how it comes out in a circle. This is my first time, listeners. This is my first time using this spell.
Well, I think it's just enemies, though, right? Isn't it?
Filled my enemies with doubt.
Targets, enemies in the area is the targets. Enemies in the area.
Targets, enemies in the area?
Yeah,
rock and roll.
Says.
Don't worry about your allies.
Thank you, Skid. So actually, it'll get both those porters.
Yes, it will get both of them.
They're going to both make a will save, okay?
Yes.
And I'm so here they go. What DC are they aiming for?
It's my spell DC, and that's
17. 18 minus 17. Yours is one more.
That is two fails.
Woo-hoo!
Nice.
Okay,
you
they
just
will
got
take,
baned.
You've
you
been
just
baned.
Got baned. You will take a. They will take a minus one status penalty to attack rolls as long as they are in my 5-foot emanation of this spell. Once per turn, I can use an action to increase the radius of this spell, and it is a concentration spell.
So
they now have minus one status penalties to attacks while they're right there.
Very good. I just want to say also, you know, if it was a spell attack, I might have made you make that flat check for how dark it is, seeing as how you're just a human, but you emanated something out of you. I don't think that it's not a spell attack, so you don't need to do that. Okay.
Great.
Very good. You see them suddenly turn to Yelka, and there's like fear in their eyes, like, and they grimace, like they're suddenly aware of Yelka, and they're a little bit maybe afraid of her. Okay.
Right.
That's awesome.
Be afraid of me, and little bits of electrical charge kind of flash in the air around her.
Awesome. That's really
okay, that's
cool.
My turn.
That's great.
All right. So the woman, it's her turn now, and she is going to first pull a weapon. Let's see. She pulls a rapier from a sheath at her side.
She would.
Man, she really does not belong here.
Yeah.
That's
this
is, right.
This ain't rapier country.
Uh-uh.
That much.
No, this is stick and rock country.
That's right.
This ain't rapier country.
This is axe made from the spinal bones of a freaking mammoth country, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, get back even on your boat.
Even with her rapier pulled, she starts to make gestures and speak what sounds like a spell casting verbal components in the air. And she is going to attack you. She aims her hand at you and she mutters her incantation, and her hand is covered in a white mist she unleashes a ray of frost at Raga.
Slinging her, your own spells at you.
I know, okay. It's rude and I don't like it.
How rude.
How rude.
And she rolls a... forgive me, here we go. She rolls a... Oh, yeah. She just rolled a 24 versus her ace.
Okay, that does hit.
Yeah, very good. Okay, and then she will do the damage. That is not a critical hit, though, I don't believe, right?
No.
No.
Please, okay. Jared.
Please.
Well, I want to know because I want to score critical hits and get extra stuff. Okay. She just did 13 damage to you with her
ray.
Oh
my god, you just took 23?
Guys,
you're
going to down. Yeah, I am 13. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you down?
Not down, but I look bad. I look bad.
Okay. Oh
no. I look hit.
That was her turn. She's not fucking around. And after she sees it hit true and like freeze your body and even like break your skin with ice, she goes,
yeah, I knew I didn't like this woman.
Yeah, and now it is AWOL's turn. AWOL's on the mountain pass. He has Yelka immediately ahead of him, and then two of the porters are blocking his path up onto the cliff.
Yeah. Okay. AWOL is going to attempt to move past them. So he is going to come up next to Yelka, and then the one that is ahead of him, blocking his path up to the plateau, he's going to attempt to tumble through that square. So he'll attempt an acrobatics check against your reflex DC.
Very good.
Somersault.
Come on, good buddy. There we go. That is going to be good. That is a... 22. Sorry. No. 26. 26.
Whoa, that is a critical success.
Yes.
Amazing. And so he does this like sweet move between the two of them and does like a feint, and it goes one way and he goes the other and moves around the dwarf. So now he's right next to Raga. What I really want to do is ready... I don't think he... Oh, no. Okay. Then he's going to hunt prey, the one that's right in directly in front of him, the one that he just tumbled through, and then he will do a twin takedown on the target.
That's amazing. You that roll past him, and his back is to you, and you just do twin takedown.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he rolls past him. He sees that he's got him in a vulnerable position. His back is to him. He sees where there's a weakness in his porter armor, and he strikes.
Sure.
So, swings with the sword, 16 to hit.
16 is a hit.
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Nice.
And then second swing is a 14 to hit.
14 to hit is a hit.
Oh, yes. Amazing.
Nice.
Amazing. Okay, that is 12 points of damage.
12 points of damage. The dwarf buckles under your blows, but does not go all the way down.
And that is my turn.
That was 12 altogether, right?
12 altogether.
Okay, great. Nice turn, AWOL. And then we come to Raga Bear Daughter.
Okay, so oof, that really hurt. Yeah, she doesn't feel great. And she even likes the ice and the snow, but that really just prickled right into her skin.
Too much of a good thing.
Too much of a good thing, definitely. And used with ill intent. Okay. This, I don't know if this is a smart move, but guys, what I'm thinking is I know she's got a cockatrice somewhere, and I don't think it's in her pocket. I think it's probably back at camp somewhere. So I kind of want to like block their ability to get back to camp and get this cockatrice, because I feel like that would be a problem that we don't need. So Raga is going to run.
Unless they're just lugging around the statue of a wolf with them after their first cockatrice died. But that doesn't make a lot of sense, does it?
I mean, you think, I mean, isn't the cockatrice such an amazingly strange, rare pet?
Would they have more than one?
She had two of them?
Look at her hat. She might have two.
Yeah, she's dressed very fancy. She's fancy.
No one has just one.
The only
one
thing that
peacock.
I'm worried about is you. I just worry about you, and you're just moving farther and farther away from potential healing.
But, I mean, I can heal, so I can heal myself.
That's true.
So but I am already flanking this guy, so it's, like, kind of smart to just, like, stab him right now.
You could stab him and move.
Yeah, I can stab him and move.
Provided he doesn't have an attack of opportunity.
But he does have a minus one status penalty.
To his attacks, that's right.
I'm sure he doesn't have an AOO.
I'm certain of it.
I would have provoked. Okay. And Yelka would have provoked.
Yeah.
On the bane.
Okay. I'm going to... All right, here we go. Thank you, everyone, for thinking of me. thinking with me at this moment. I am going to command Baba to support me, which I think he's ready to do because he just saw me get hurt and he's like, ah! My sister! He thinks that in bear, of course, so it sounds like this. So he's going to run and flank this other porter. And then... Oh, gosh. Yeah, I'm gonna stab this porter with my spear.
Very good. The one that's right
below me. I'm gonna stab him. That is a 22.
A 22 is a hit.
All right. Oh, man. And then Baba just adds on automatically, right?
Automatically, that's a D8. So
awesome. What? I know we've said that before, but that's, I think, going to be my reaction every time. This is not new, but I'm still like,
right. That can't be right.
So that is awesome. A total of 6 piercing damage, plus Baba gets a D8.
Doesn't he just do 8?
Oh, no, I think it's a D8. Let me see, though.
Wishful thinking.
Support benefit. The creature takes 1d8 slashing damage.
Roll an 8.
Yeah, just roll an 8, and then it's the same thing.
That's a 6. So that is,
12.
So he takes 12 damage. Yeah, 6 piercing and 6 slashing.
This poor guy takes a spear in the side and doesn't even realize that there's a polar bear jumping onto his back, like slashing into his back, and he's like, ah! Okay, great. Any other actions?
Yeah, I have one more action.
Ooh.
And with that action, I am going to move. I'm going to run away. Sorry, folks. We lose one of the flankings, but I'm just getting out of there.
You're moving up to the path between them and their camp.
Yes.
Right. So all the way up onto the cliff face, if you go to the northeast, there's that path that leads down to where the tents and the petrified wolf are, and Raga is now locking that path downward. And now we come to Olog Crowborn.
Okay.
What can you do here, Olog? Are we totally blocking you?
Yeah, I think, so that's my question. It's a 10-foot wide sort of path, and it's blocked by the two porters and a bear and my sister. So I'm trying to think, like, what my options are as far as...
So you can move through your allies, and you could attempt to move through like AWOL did.
Right. But that's...
But if you didn't succeed, I would rule that you are bounced back to behind Yelka or Baba.
And that's an athletics check?
It's an acrobatics check.
You would have to be trained, I believe.
Yep,
which I can't do.
Can he just, like, barrel through?
You could try a shove. You could try a shove.
Oh, actually, yeah, but I don't have a space to do it. Because don't I have to be like standing adjacent to them to be able to do it?
Let's see.
Well, here's a question. What about Whoa. I don't know if you want to risk this, but I was going to say there seems to be a small ledge next to... Well, I mean, maybe you could hold that square.
That was my other question.
You can. You can hold that square. I'm okay. going to rule, though, that if something goes really wrong, such as like a critical hit or a critical miss, maybe even, your footing in that very edge kind of case place is going to be in danger.
Ooh. Okay. We were warned about this.
Okay.
Okay,
you have a hero point.
I do. That's true. Okay. So, Olog, before we get into this, have any of you read the Joe Abercrombie's First Law trilogy? Have any of you read
The Blade itself? I read The Blade itself.
I read The Blade itself, yeah.
Yeah. So, this is a story. Like, one of the characters in that story is this character called Logan Ninefingers.
Uh-huh.
And so, he's a really cool character. Like, he's a sort of kind of an Aragorn-y kind of, like, a tormented ranger. He's, like, a badass on his own, big guy. But he has this other personality that takes over sometimes for the Bloody Nine, right? And so, like, he's a badass in his own right, but then it's just, like, he loses all of his sense of self and this other thing kind of takes over, and he just becomes this horrible kind of demonic fighting force of his own. This is kind of how I'm envisioning Olog's rage state at this point. Like, this is, if any of you knows that story, like, that's kind of like where I'm coming from. So Olog, he sees this tiny little space, this risky space, and he starts striding up with his axe slung down.
Oh my gosh.
And just says, as he's walking up, he says, "Invaders! Back to your southern cities! This is a place for mammoths!" And he rages.
And he's on this thin edge with just this death drop right behind him.
And he's going to swing his axe down on the head of this porter who is flanked. Natural one.
Oh,
no.
I'm going to use my hero points.
No.
Oh, my God. Hero point. Hero point.
I can't believe you rolled a natural one.
That is a 23. That is a 23 to hit.
The hero point was
my heart just dropped to my ass.
Very important there. Good use of a hero point. Yes, that's a hit.
Okay. That is 19 points of damage.
19 points of damage.
He's so dead.
Kills that porter.
Yeah, he's smushed.
A path has been cleared.
Do you have dark vision, Olog?
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Then you
We're
are
the
fine.
Only one who cannot see.
You're
in
the
this
only
lighting.
One.
What the heck?
Okay.
Wait, you have dark vision or low light?
I have dark vision.
Like me. Okay.
That is Olog, and that brings us back to the porters. The one who currently has a negative one is going to try to, first he will move out of flanking. And away from the orc.
Away from the orc.
And he will, with his negative one bane, attack AWOL.
I think now he's out of
he's
the 5 foot emanation, so I'm not sure that he still has the.
Ah, very good. Thank you. Let's see if he can even target him with this. Okay. He is a dwarf, though. Do all dwarfs get. Dark vision? Oh my god.
They do. No, he does have dark vision. He should have dark vision.
They don't all, I don't think, anymore. Maybe. But I know... The only example that I have is rat folk, and I know you had to take an ancestry feat to have dark vision, whereas
I thought
one
so
e,
too.
All rat folk were, had dark vision.
I thought so, too. Let me... Okay, I just checked. All dwarves have dark vision. They don't need to make that flat check. The darkness, the dimness of the night... barely matters in this combat. Okay, here we go. There we go. And this porter rolled, and he is coming at you with a 15 versus your AC, AWOL.
He dodges.
Nice.
Then whooshes by.
Then this porter is falling back to in front of his mistress, the spellcaster woman. And that's his three actions. Then this one right here, that is already blocking, guarding his mistress, moves forward, attacks AWOL.
Come on, AWOL, keep dodging. This Stay light on your toes.
Believe it or not, also rolls a 15.
Yes.
That's a miss.
Nice. Yeah.
Having missed, he uses his third action to, again, move back and guard his leader. And so that is their actions, and now we come to Yelka.
Okay. Okay, so this bane is still emanating 5 feet.
Yeah.
Yelka will move forward 5, 10, 15, 20. She's now... I was going to block the way between the porter and kind of the edge of the cliff where other people could get to Raga, but I'm not going to do that. So hugging the kind of southerly edge of this mountain pass that we're on, Yelka will just keep... She's emboldened. She's just going to keep right on these porters. So for one action, she moves right up against them. They're in her 5-foot emanation of Bane again.
You sure are.
Nice.
And I will use one action to increase the emanation of Bane by 5 feet. So now that will catch this woman in it. So I believe the woman and the porter who just went second in attacking AWOL and moved back, neither one of them have made will saving throws yet. So I believe they now need to make those.
Thank you.
And I think, I could be wrong, but I think the original one, now that they're within Bane, I think it just happens to them again. They are
automatically
back at the -1.
That sounds right.
Status.
So the porter gets a 15, not enough. And the spell casting woman gets a probably not
She's
enough.
She's probably going to.
She got an 18.
That is, Misa beats it, right? So that's just enough.
Yeah, okay. She is not a bane.
I figured. Yeah, she probably has a good will, I would think.
If I'm not mistaken, you have an action left, Yelka.
I do have an action left.
You do.
And with that action, because I'm right there and it's a wee bit scary, I will cast Shield on myself.
Smart.
So nice. These little bits of flavor, crackling, electrical energy charging around Yelka will now kind of fuse together in a bit of a shield around her. So now this basically counts as me doing a raise a shield action. So I have a +1 circumstance bonus to my AC until the start of my next turn.
Very
it
good.
It even works against magic missile because it's magical.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Again, something that goes back to original Dungeons & Dragons, that concept, shield counteracting magic missile.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Very cool.
All right, that's all three of my actions.
All right, very cool. It is now the spellcasting woman's turn, and she begins once again intoning arcane words, and she unleashes a bolt of a weird spiraling brown energy right at AWOL.
Oh, man.
She is going to... now, she is human, so she does need to make the check to see if she is
Miss
able to
it.
Get you in the dim light.
Also, she girl's same.
She succeeds.
Is she...
She succeeds.
Is this a spell attack roll, or...
What's that?
Is it a spell?
First, I was just checking for the dim light. Now I will make the spell attack roll. Okay.
And do I get a bonus to that because her guy is in between me and her?
Yeah, we'll give you +1 cover for minor cover or whatever. Okay. And here comes her spell attack roll, and that is a 26.
The soft cover didn't matter.
Ouchie.
Yeah, 25 with the cover.
But it's not a crit, though.
No, it is not a crit.
Not 25. Your AC went up. Okay, so yeah, she does not crit you, okay, but she does hit you, and you need to make a fortitude save.
Oh, no.
Don't fall off. Anything
that requires a spell attack roll and then a fortitude save, you know it's going to be bad. All right, buddy. Here we go. I rolled a natural 4.
A natural 4.
And I'm considering a hero point. But then I
you
could roll a natural
it.
1.
You should consider it. A spell with a check and
fortitude is so
and
bad.
Attack.
It's so bad. God, it. Well,
hero point.
All right, I'm going to spend the hero point. Here we go. Please don't roll a natural 1, O'Brien. Please don't roll a natural 3.
What'd you roll?
Oh, no. Hey!
Three. So, what's your bonus?
+7. So that is a 10.
A 10, and her attack was way above that, right? I mean, or no, the DC. Oh no, the DC. Oh, So the DC is so high that that is a critical fail.
Oh, no.
No way.
No.
And that means that you are enfeebled 3.
Oh no. I had a suspicion.
Enfeebled.
Ray of enfeeblement.
You take a status penalty.
Ray of enfeeblement. Classic.
Take a status penalty equal to the condition value to strength-based rolls and DCs, including strength-based melee attack rolls, strength-based damage rolls, and athletics checks.
Okay, that's not so bad. My checks are all dex-based.
That was two of her actions.
And then it will reduce my damage down, though.
Laughing.
Yes, it sure does.
She then moves back to the weird pyramid thing and starts muttering over it.
Oh, no.
I don't think so, bitch.
You never want someone muttering over a pyramid. It's always a bad thing.
Yeah, muttering over a pyramid
is a
bad thing. Okay, so that brings us to Yelka. No, I'm sorry, AWOL.
Yeah, he gets hit by this. He feels the strength draining out of him. He's just like, oh, look, she's going to the back. You need to get to her. He just needs AWOL to kill this woman with one swing.
Yeah, that would be sick nasty.
I don't have enough actions to get to her and really do any damage. But, well, I don't know. It might be worth it just to disrupt her. No, he's going to deal with what he's got in front of him. So he is going to move up and past the porter that is in melee with Yelka and flank it with Yelka. And this also puts him about 15 feet away from her.
Nice.
He will then hunt prey on that middle one that is flanked and will twin takedown.
Take him down.
So first attack is a hit, assuming it has the same AC as last time.
Yes.
Second attack is also a hit. And he will do...
How much?
Max damage.
Yes.
However, it is reduced because of the enfeebled, so it is 10 points of damage.
Oh.
I rolled boxcars. It's, my damage is now 1d6 minus 1
for
each attack.
All right.
But he does do 10 points of damage to it.
That's nice.
The dwarf grimaces as AWOL's blades strike true into his arms and torso. And that is AWOL's entire turn?
Yes. Yeah, move, hunt, prey, twin takedown. Yep.
Raga, you've slipped past the opposition here. What do you do now? It's your turn.
Yeah. Okay.
You're in really bad shape, right?
I am in pretty bad shape, but I just really don't like the idea of her at this pyramid. So I could heal myself right now, but I don't think Raga would do that. I think she sees the threat of her at this pyramid. I do not like this pyramid.
Yeah.
And so I am going... Gosh.
I'll tell you, I'm curious about the design decision in Pathfinder 2E to change the standard movement speed from 30 feet to 25 feet, you know, for the most part, generally speaking. Because I feel like it comes up all the time to me. Like, I feel like I'm like, I'm just five feet short.
Right?
I'm like constantly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very interesting choice. It does make you have to use two move actions a lot more.
Okay. What am I gonna do? All right. I just want to interrupt her. So I'm gonna cast Spout. So she has to make a reflex saving throw.
Very good at reflex saves.
She does have rapiers and she's like...
Yeah, she's like thin and wiry and like...
Yeah,
I can't wait to get some spells
That
target not Will. It's just all I'm thinking. I'm like, oh, all my debuffs all are Will saves.
Also,
You know what? Hold on. I take it back. I'm not doing Spout. I don't need to use a cantrip. I can use a real spell.
You gonna pull out the big guns?
I'm pulling out my big old water gun. And I'm gonna cast Aqueous Blast.
Oh. Knock her off the cliff!
Oh, yeah! I want to figure out what the heck she's doing.
Jared's eyes just got so scared.
No, but keep in mind that that blue square behind her is where the strange pyramid is sitting. I don't know, but it's large enough to stop her.
Like it's.
I think it might. It might stop her. Let me put it that way.
It's more like a table.
It's not like a giant slab. So it's not like her back is completely covered. Let's see what happens with this aqueous blast.
It says on a critical hit. My blast knocks the target prone.
Oh, okay. So no distance. Okay.
So it doesn't like, yeah, at least it doesn't it would launch stop her or anything. From,
it would sure interrupt whatever she's doing.
Okay. Okay.
Again, let's go,
this
Raga.
Is awesome, Raga. Come on!
Okay, I am casting Aqueous Blast! and so you see Raga, she sort of reaches up into the air with these like outstretched arms and these wide hands, and she like and like pulls down as if she's like pulling down the air around her, the clouds.
Raga's
and
eyes
you see
go wide. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, you see water sort of like coalesce around her fists, like cold, like on a cold drink, but it just gets larger until it's these like big globes, like boxing gloves of water around her fists. So and cool. She
hands.
Looks at this woman and she just, she punches straight at her. Boom, just like a boxer. These are like water boxing gloves and she just punches right at her. She's 30 feet away, which is perfect because my spell has 30 foot range. And so I make a spell attack.
Here we go.
And that is a 17.
That is too low.
It looked so cool, though.
Yeah.
Dang.
Dang. Yeah.
Okay, well, then with my last... with my last action, I am going to command Baba. Baba, go get her. And he cannot reach her with one movement. Snarf! Okay.
You spray her with water and it almost like she ignores it. Like it's not a hard enough blast to get her to stop muttering over the pyramid.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Raga, did you move?
No. No, I moved in a previous turn. So that spell was two actions.
That spell's one action, it looks like, to me.
What?
Does
oh my
it
God,
say
it
two
is.
Actions?
No, so it's one.
So I think you, ooh, and the thing sweet. Is, you can shoot another blast.
Oh my like gosh, I totally forgot. This is one action. That's right,
well,
we had this discussion in
take,
our last battle.
You might
battle.
Take the map, though, which might make it
You will
worth
take
it.
A map, -5.
Yeah, yeah. Which, is it worth it? Probably not. 17 didn't hit.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. But with my last action, what could I do? With my last action, well, I know what I'm going to do. With my last action, I'm going to cast one action of heal on myself.
Yeah.
And do 1d8 hit points.
Well, there is another option. No, yeah, you're going to take the map. I was going to say you could shoot the Aqueous Blast at one of the porters. You know what I mean?
It might have
lower AC, but it would still take the map. But we know their AC is 14 or lower, so there's that. But anyway, it's just a cool spell, and now it's like
it's
gone.
It's a super cool
you
spell.
You only get to shoot it this round, right?
You're so. Right. Let's do it. It's more fun that way. More fun. Okay, I rolled a 4, so.
No!
Oh, well.
Damn it!
A 4
the water
before,
just like sort of drips off her
A 4
her
before
hand.
Your bonus, right?
Aqueous
4
drip.
Before my bonus, so that's 11.
Okay.
Minus right. 5.
Not
6.
Enough. Yeah. Not enough. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that is Raga's turn, and now we
it
come
was.
To...
So for the... I'm so sorry. Did Baba end up moving? Did you use an action command?
He did not.
Command?
However, okay, here's something that I would
so
ask
you do
the GM.
Have a third action still, right? Did you heal yourself? Because you've done 2 Aqueous Blasts. That was 2 actions.
2 Aqueous Blasts. And, oh, then I'll heal myself. Ding. Thank you, everybody, for counting with Mary Lou. This has been Counting with Mary Lou. I do 6 points
yeah,
of healing
okay,
on
awesome.
Myself.
Something.
Okay, and then here's my question still for Jared.
Yes.
I've researched this, and
yes.
Animal companions, even when they're not ordered, commanded, they can still act on their own impulses.
Uh-huh.
So it would be my opinion.
If you're
opinion,
asking if Baba just continues to attack everybody without using an action.
No, 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 no. He doesn't attack, but I feel like he would move toward Raga. That's just all I think he would do, is that I think he would just take his 35 feet, which is his speed, and move toward Raga. That's what I think his impulses would do as a little brother and a poor brother.
I understand your argument. I think the letter of that rule is more if you were to go down, the animal companion okay. wouldn't just sit there and do nothing while it gets stabbed or whatever. Yeah. Okay. So that's how I'm going to rule, and you will need to command Baba to get him up in there.
Fair. Okay, accepted.
That said, we are now going to move to Olog Crowborn.
Come on, Olog.
Olog! Okay.
We need you.
So Olog, in his rage state, I think when he saw this green light of the spell being cast by this woman, like that triggered something in him.
Yeah.
And so, and he he's with his little glowing ember eyes, he sees her retreating to this black pyramid, and he's gonna charge at her.
Yeah.
And he's gonna run right past his big sister, right past the dwarves and AWOL, and thum thum thum.
And AWOL's just like, out.
Yes.
He's a southern witch, and gets right up yes. at her grill. I'm gonna swing. Oh fuck! Fucking 12. God damn it!
Do you have any hero points left?
No, I don't. That was it. I used my only one on my other shitty roll. Oh, I'm so angry right now. So I'm in a rage state. God, I can't believe that.
Olog swings and misses her. She smirks. Oh. Her hands fill with energy. She's looking out at your following,
oh,
at the
no,
innocent
no, no, no.
men and women below. Your
Dude.
Mammoth herds, Imek, Gronum.
Do not end
Letsua.
The episode right now. Do not do
and
it.
And that's where we're going to end for today.
Oh, you fucking Logan. Bitch.
Dude, that is so shitty. No.
Sorry. It's not even her turn. I just needed an ending.
All right. Good ending.
Oh, no.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
The world of Sonic the Hedgehog has been thrust into a not-so-dark, not-so-stormy, hard-boiled detective story that probably nobody saw coming. Follow Sonic and the Intrepid Chaotix Detective Agency as they take on their biggest case yet. This high-flying, action-packed adventure will take them across the world, fighting for every clue they can find. It's one heck of a tale, which is good. because this story might be the only thing that can save their lives.
Wait. Well, if that's all, I can just dispose of you.
Wait, what?
All will be revealed in Sonic the Hedgehog presents The Chaotix Case Files. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chaotix are-